This is Ariel Green, and you're listening to SpartanCast for Hazelwood East High School. You can visit our website at spartancast.blogspot.com. When you were in elementary school, maybe even middle school, your parent or guardian had to come in for a parent-teacher conference. As you reach high school level, parent-teacher conferences seem to disappear. Well, this year at Hazelwood East, parent-teacher conferences have gone back into effect. I'm sitting here with one of our associate principals, Mr. Jensen, and he's going to tell us more about parent-teacher conferences. Mr. Jensen, what is the purpose of parent-teacher conferences?
The conferences are in place to allow personal time one-on-one between parents and the teacher. It allows them to discuss the child's first quarter progress along with their strengths and weaknesses and what they can do to improve that child's success.
What brought about the starting of parent-teacher conferences? Why are they being instilled this year as opposed to previous years?
Well, Dr. Wright, our superintendent, is a big fan of the conferences. She sees that the middle school and the elementary school conferences are successful and would like us to have them in place at the high school as well.
How often will parent-teacher conferences occur?
As of right now, they'll be once a semester.
Will parent-teacher conferences continue to be in place for years to come?
I do not see them going away. Dr. Wright is a big fan of those, so I think that they will continue to be around.
How should parents prepare for parent-teacher conferences? What important stuff should they know?
Well, I think they should spend time with their student to make sure that they understand the classes that the kids are taking, they know the child's progress, and any concerns that the kids have. I also would suggest that they bring their student along with them so that they can have a conversation with everybody present.
If a parent is unable to come in to school for a scheduled parent-teacher conference, what should they do?
I think they should take time to make a phone call to each of their teachers to get an update on how their child is doing in each of their classes and see what they can do to make their child more successful in each of the six classes that they may be taking.
Do you think that parent-teacher conferences will improve student behavior in the classroom?
I think it'll open up the lines of communication between parents and teachers so that teachers know who they're calling when they make that phone call home to discuss the child's behavior, or to discuss their academic performance. So I think it can only be a positive thing.
Well, thank you, Mr. Jensen, for sitting down with me and talking about parent-teacher conferences. For more information about parent-teacher conferences, you can contact the school here at 953-5600. And the first parent-teacher conference meeting will be this Thursday and Friday, October 20th and 21st. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Several of our teachers and faculty members here at Hazelwood East play dual roles as teachers and as also coaches. Two specific teachers whom I'm interviewing today are Mr. Bashley and Mr. Tahi Ingber. Mr. Bashley teaches world history and government and coaches freshman boys basketball and golf. Mr. Taimba teaches sociology and government, and he coaches track and field, cross country, and freshman girls basketball. Today, we're going to learn more about the difficult job that it is to be a teacher and also a coach. So, what made you two decide to be coaches?
I didn't decide to be a coach. I was born to be a coach. Coaching is something that since I was in sixth grade.
My father was a coach. My father was a teacher. He became an administrator later on. I just enjoy a lot of the athletic games and a lot of the athletic events. I enjoy teaching the techniques that I've learned, and I really enjoy seeing the kids be able to apply those things that they're very interested in that I've taught them.
What responsibilities have been bestowed upon you as coaches and as teachers? What challenges have you had to face?
I'd say some of the biggest challenges was taking care of school equipment and facilities, making sure the kids respect those things. You know, we we as a school district and our administration, we give a lot of things to the children to be able to use and just to make sure they do. Keeping students in safe hands when they are with me, that's one of the things that the parents, you know, would like to know is possible and safe. And then the biggest thing probably of anything, of any teacher, of any coach, is dealing with the parents. Because every parent thinks that their kid is the best one, and they're probably right, that their kid is the best kid they have.
I have some of the same challenges that Coach Badgley stated, but one of the main challenges as being a teacher and a coach is you always get accused of giving athletes preferential treatment when we're actually, I know myself, I'm harder on my athletes than I am on the regular students. And also, another challenge is just dealing with the family life when you've been gone so much as a coach and you bring your papers home to grade as a teacher.
How does coaching and teaching interfere with your family life?
During the season, most of my family time is limited because of doing track and cross country. All my meets are on Saturdays. And then I deal with other issues like working with the other programs here as a coach here. So I have to spend a little bit more time with my family on Sunday, whereas some people get to spend more time with their families all week. My weekends are taken away because of coaching. Teaching time is taken away because of during the rest of the week, I'm sometimes grading papers for an hour or so at home.
Well, I think that it does take a lot of time that you could spend with your family. You know, you're spending a lot of time with other kids that aren't your own biologically, but you do see them as your own. And, you know, sometimes that can wear on your family a little bit, but you got to have a family that's very understanding to that.
Do you treat the students who you coach differently from the ones that you teach? Do you give special treatment to students who you have on your team and in your classroom?
Do I teach them differently? Yes. Do I treat them differently? Yes. Do I give them special treatment? Yes, I do. Is it easier treatment? By no means whatsoever. Players have to answer to me and other coaches in many ways. And sometimes, I tell this to other teachers that can use me as an avenue to try to straighten up some behavior and some ways that they are taking care of class work, things like that, they can use me as an avenue to try to curtail poor jobs and try to improve themselves. The bottom line is that as a teacher, you got to do whatever it takes to get the desired outcome. And I think that if I get one of my players in my classroom, or if I get one of Mr. T's players in my classroom, or he gets one of mine in his, we're usually going to work together.
I don't treat the players any different than I do the regular students, athletes. Being a coach, and I coach the girls, and every day, every season, at the beginning of the season, I let them know you're athlete first. I mean, you're student first, athlete second. And I tell them that they have to be positive citizens in the building. And I'm not going to go to a teacher to get them a takeaway of a detention. I'm not going to go to a teacher to get them to change a grade. That is their job, to make sure that they don't get detention and to make sure that they get their grades and have the passing grades and get their work done. But I will support the athlete in helping them with their grades, and I would talk to them about what they need to do to not maybe get themselves into detention. On the most part, most of our athletes are pretty good students. It's just, you know, we have maybe a small percentage of those that don't follow the rules of the school.
See, the bottom line is our athletes are usually the only ones that people from outside of our district see as representing our district, so they have to live up to that.
How long will you continue to be a coach and a teacher at the same time?
As long as I teach, I'll coach something.
And I feel the exact same way.
If you can make the decision to be a coach slash teacher again, knowing what you know now about how hard of a job it is, would you still consider your position?
Yeah, I would consider my position, but I think I would, the only thing I would change about what I've done so far is that I would go and get a graduate degree, so that wouldn't happen. I probably wouldn't be in the classroom as long as I have been in the classroom, and I probably would have worked out something, whereas I would still be coaching, but not as a classroom. But I wouldn't be a classroom teacher, but I would still be part of the school.
I knew what I was getting into, so I would make the same decision. That's one of the things that I love about education, is having the opportunity to coach.
Do you feel you have a better influence on students as coaches rather than as teachers?
I do. Because, you know, sometimes students will feel like they have to come to school. And if you can get them out on the athletic field or on the court or whatever, now all of a sudden you have something that they want.
I feel like, I think I have an influence on my athletes, but I also have influence on the students in the classroom. I try to make that influence universal. I look at myself as being the father of my 150 students that I see in the classroom and my 25 to 30 students that I see outside of the classroom in the particular sports.
Do you bring some of the same principles that you present when you're coaching into the classroom when you're teaching? What values do you give to your team that you also give to the students in your classroom?
Well, the one thing I've always said to my athletes, don't be afraid to succeed. That's with sports and it's life. You have to be able to be ready to succeed in life. And you can't succeed in life if you're not handling your business in the classroom.
I definitely bring things that I teach my athletes into the classroom. You know, that every day that we do classwork, that's kind of like practice, and every time you take a test, that's kind of like the game. But the main thing is that you gotta strive to be better today than what you were yesterday, and that I just want them to be the best that they can possibly be.
Well, gentlemen, I thank you for taking the time out to come sit down and have this interview with me. To talk more with Mr. Bashley and Mr. Ty Amber, you can contact the school here at 953-5600. There are several organizations here at Hayeswood East, many of which you may have quite some clue of what they are, many of which you don't know about. One of the organizations here at Hayeswood East that has been around since last year, but quite few people doesn't know about, is Pride Alliance. I'm sitting here today with Mr. Mark Gilley, who is one of the sponsors for Pride Alliance. Mr. Gilley, what exactly is Pride Alliance, and why is it called Pride Alliance?
Pride Alliance is an organization and school for gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgendered, and questioning students and their straight allies. And it's a group that gets together to talk about those types of issues and how they affect students in school. The reason that Pride Alliance was chosen as a name is because it reflects what the group is trying to do. They're allying with each other, they're an alliance of students, and they're showing their pride in diversity.
What was the reason for starting Pride Alliance?
The reason for starting Pride Alliance was that there was a feeling among some students, at least, that this group of students was sort of left out of school. They didn't have a lot of activities or recognition. And so Mark Smith asked me if I would help him start this organization, and so that's why it got started.
Is there a wide variety of participants in Pride Alliance?
So far, the meetings have been, some have a lot of students in them and some have very few students. We're still trying to get more straight allies to come to the meetings.
What type of negative criticisms have you had to face involving Pride Alliance?
For me personally, I haven't had any negative criticisms about the group. All of the other faculty members have been very supportive of it, and students have been very supportive of it.
How has Pride Alliance brought forth a positive change in the way that students interact with each other?
Well, I hope that the students that come to the meetings feel that they're more connected to school and that they have a more positive outlook on school because they have a group they feel like they can belong to.
Should a parent be concerned if their child is involved in Pride Alliance?
Only if they're concerned if their child is developing an open mind and new friends.
How long will the club last?
As long as there are students willing to participate.
Do you think that if people really knew what Pride Alliance was about, that they would join?
I hope so. A lot of students, I think, feel that it's a gay club, which it isn't. It's a group for people to get together and talk about issues in school, whether they're related to gay issues or not. So I hope that more students from different backgrounds will come and have a good time.
Thank you, Mr. Gilling, for sitting down and having this interview with me. For more information about Pride Alliance, you can contact the school at 953-5600. Thank you for listening to Spartancast here at Hazelwood East. You can visit our website at www.spartancast.blogspot.com.